prayer was probably a great transition. Thank you guys for asking us to pray for your kids. I mean, that's what we're about. And not just our kids, but our parents and all those people that are struggling, as you mentioned. People that are weaker than us. And that's been my argument since looking at what Paul wrote the Romans at the near the end of his letter to the Romans and what he's also written to the Corinthian church. That if we are going to be strong, as the church was intended to be, a holy whole, a unity, infused with the Spirit of God, fulfilling our purpose as a church, as a body, as Christ's body, as the head of the body, Christ, the body, is to fulfill all the functions of the head, then Paul is making it absolutely clear that the church is different than the world, that we have to think about our young. We have to think about our weak, right? It is not just about me and the we. It is about the you and the we. It is me and you and the we. And sometimes our instincts are that we think a little bit more about me than we think about the you or the others in the we, right? And if the body ever gets that, I mean, it's going to change the world. And that in doing that, just as we do with our children, as we seek to do with our children, right or wrong, pro or con, good or bad, we seek to accommodate them in their youthfulness as they grow up. Their mistakes, the things they don't know, the struggles they go through. We don't treat them as an adult, we treat them as a child, but as we try to morph them or move them from being a child to an adult. And that's no easy task, i.e. our prayers. We just talked about that a moment. But that's the concept. You know it. Whether you've been successful or not, you know what we're talking about. You accommodate the weak. It's common sense. The same thing applies to the body of Christ, right? Get it? Now, everybody is super strong. Now, everybody's growing. Some people have struggles. And part of the beautiful thing about the body is it accommodates the weaker portions, just like we do with our own physical bodies, right? We go to the hospital, we go to the doctor, we take medicine, we rest it. We try to nurture the parts that are injured or weak. It could be old, could be young, could be our age, could be it suddenly happened, as some of the prayer requests you just made. That's the beauty of the body of Christ that makes us different from the world. And when the strong help the weaker get stronger. And when the strong help the stronger get stronger, because it's not just about me anymore. It's about we. It's about learning to love you. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He's going to ask 17 rapid-fire machine gun questions. They're all rhetorical. They're all here to make a point. They're all obvious statements. Now watch what he goes. He says, am I not free? Yes. Am I not an apostle? Yes. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Yes, in the light, on the way to Damascus. 4, and are you not my work in the Lord? Verse 12, if others receive this right from you, which they had, other apostles, other teachers, are we not more deserving? 16, yes. But here comes the curveball, because we birthed you, we started you. But we have not made use of this right. So here's the, do I have these rights? So for a weaker brother, I will not eat meat again. I will forego my rights so that I will not cause him to violate his own conscience, even though knowledge-wise, I have the right to eat that food, right? So he says, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to cause another brother to sin, and then I would be causing him to sin, and then I'm sinning against Christ. I'm doing it to the least of these. So instead of doing that, I will never eat meat again. Now I'm going to use myself as an example. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? Am I not free? And he goes through all this list, right? Am I not entitled for spiritual reward or for reward for that? Am I supposed to do this for free? No, you are, is the answer. Now, where does that take us? He says, but, and here's the curveball. And here's what I want to extract today that will lead us today and next week. To my hope and my goal is to cause you to rethink your purpose in life. Gordon, you said amen earlier. Regardless of how many times or how you've heard what I'm about to say, in church, in life, books, the Bible, I don't care if you've heard it zero or one or two or three times. I don't care if you've heard it thousands of times. I don't care if you've heard it for a year or 20 years or 50 years. What we're about to look at, both this week and next week, I mean, I want it to change the way you live life now. Is even if you're the greatest Christian in here or the weakest Christian or somewhere in the middle, it doesn't make any difference. What he's about to say has the possibility to change, to recharge, to refresh the way you do everything in your life. Everything. Okay? So here it comes. You ready? If others receive this right from you, verse 12, are we not more deserving? But we have not made use of this exousia, this power, this right, this freedom. Okay? Instead, we endure everything. Everything, like a parent, some of you talked about earlier before, like a teacher, like a coach. We endure everything so that we may not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Instead of being a trap to somebody else or a stumbling block to somebody else, he says, or to enjoy the share of your crop, you have said, I'm not going to do it. And why am I not going to do it? I don't want to be a hindrance to the gospel. What do you mean by that? Well, let's read on. Verse 13. Do you not know that those who serve in the temple eat food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar receive a part of the offerings? So after 17 questions, he says, those who eat, those who serve at the temple, the priest, so God had his way of providing for the priest. So if you're in there, you're offering sacrifices, you are not doing it for free. You're going to be supported. Your needs are going to be met by God through the people. But he says, I have not used any of these rights. 14. In the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel to receive their living by the gospel. So you serve at the temple, you receive a reward, you receive your food from the temple, and the Lord commanded it. So he's got, again, he's got apostles, he's got the Lord's brothers, he's got Peter, he got the Lord himself, he's got Old Testament references. Overwhelming that spiritual leadership, pastors and teachers, the evangelists, even Paul himself as an apostle, is due the support of those he's ministering to. This is brilliant, and it changes the viewpoint. To me, it should change every person's viewpoint to everything you do, especially as a believer. And I'm going to try to diagram it out here for you. I was working on this yesterday. We'll see if it works for you. Because I'm not going to finish today, you may not see the full implications of it, but I want to start over here on this side right here. Paul, we just said it, when Paul became a believer on the Damascus Road, right? He also got something else. What did he get? You just said it. He got a commission by Jesus himself to do what? Take the good news, the story of Christ and his redemption, his atonement for our sin and our relationship with God, receiving the Holy Spirit, being a part of the body of Christ forever and having this wonderful inheritance. That story, that mission, that testimony, he was supposed to take to the Gentiles. So Paul gets a two-for-one thing here. So you can choose to use your rights or choose not to, right? We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if it's going to cause another brother to sin, I would rather not use my rights or my freedoms rather than cause them to stumble. I'm going to give the gospel away for free. No charge to the Corinthians or anybody else. Somebody wants to support me, they can, but I'm not going to charge them. I'm not going to charge a fee. And if I do that, he says at the end, he says, that's my stewardship. Whether I want to do it or not, and whether I receive those benefits or not, that is my responsibility, that's my job, that's my economy. Responsibility to Christ. Basically, this is the given. But Paul's going to make this argument, and it's brilliant. He says, I can choose another route. I can choose not to use my freedoms and rights as an apostle. Okay? I'm going to go back down here, right? Financial support and freedom to take a family, right? Rather, what did Paul do at this point in time? Those biblical scholars, how did he support himself? made tents. In fact, he made tents for 18 months in Corinth. I'm going to, so I don't have to charge the gospel for free. I'm not going to use my rights so I can offer the gospel for free. Now, what does that get him? It's amazing. And some of you have seen this. It gets him, I can be all things to all people. Now, why is that so crucial? Because they can say, why are you doing this? Because I really believe it. I can share the gospel, which God has called me to do, or Christ has called me to do. I can share it for free, which gets me in the door to every human being on the planet. And I'll give you one example of my own ministry. Now, obviously, I'm supported by this church, and thank you very much. You know, I came here, actually, the church that started, they couldn't pay me enough, and so I had to go out and raise support, patronage, from other people to do. That's how I started here. I can't even tell you when, I mean, it's been a decade or two since I even had a raise, which I'm not asking for this as Paul. I want you to take my boast away from me. So, but I will tell you where it's powerful. It's in counseling. You recommend people to me, people from all over the country. You know, I don't get overwhelmed by counseling, but I just have enough to keep me growing and maturing. People will walk in my door, or I'll talk to them on FaceTime or over the phone or whatever. And you know, the beautiful thing is if they say, you know, how much do you charge? You know what I say? Nothing. I got a beautiful family that supports me and allows me to minister to whoever I want to minister, whenever I want to minister. And I said, I love that deal. Because then they cannot think that he's getting something out of this, right? They go, why are you doing this? God's loved me. God's given me this. I want to give it to you. If you want to take it, that's fine. You don't want to take it, it's fine. I have no agenda here. I'm not trying to get anything out of you here. We have a relationship the rest of our life. Great. If I never talk to you again, great. I don't charge. We don't charge to do that with people. And that gets me into the door and gets me into their heart and gets me an hour, may get me 2 hours, may get me 3 hours, maybe get me more appointments. I mean, because they don't have an argument back with me. They can't say, oh, we're charging me $180 an hour right now, so you're getting something out of it. No. You know, Paul going on and on and on about has these rights and then saying, no, yes, I do have these rights, but I'm not going to use them. Why? Because my economy, I want to have an economy that changes the world, that sneaks in the back door, the side door, through the window, wherever, to get inside people's hearts and minds so they have to consider what I have to say. And the Holy Spirit can use that to change lives with what they buy, what they create, what they sell, with all their choices. So as you walk out of here today, and obviously the time is up, I'm telling you, if you get this week and next week, as we finish up this, if you get this, it will affect every decision you ever make. Whether you've heard this story one time or 1,000 times or 10,000, you know, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will use it to recharge, to refresh, to refocus why you do what you do. Everything you do in your life, every prayer, every thought, every cake you bake, every diaper you change, every elderly person you sit down and listen to their story or listen to their story for the 100th time, it just doesn't make any difference. Everything. If when you begin to see it through this lens, that you are not using your right, you're giving up personal momentary rights and freedoms so that you can connect with anybody on the planet anytime, any moment, and the Holy Spirit can use you. You want to save some people? You want to change the world? Be willing to give up rights and freedoms. That's what knocked my socks off. Father, your son gave up all, emptied himself, Philippians chapter 2, emptied himself in some form or fashion of all his rights to his deity, to his power, so that he could become weak to serve the weak and to save the weak, so the weak could become strong and then help the weak who become strong, who help the weak who become strong, who help the weak who become strong. That's the cycle. That's the process that everybody on this planet, every believer in this planet, every person in this church can be a part of. Have we been doing it? Yes. My hope, my vision is that through this lens of Paul's personal experiences and his giving up his rights and how he changed the world, that somehow that filter would change the way I see my life, my purpose, my existence, and everything I touch and do or say or feel or pray. That when I am willing to give up a little bit of me for you, so I gain your trust, I gain credibility with you to be able to share my story or how God has saved and delivered me, is saving and delivering me, then we change the world economy. We change the process of people, of goods and services being bought and sold and used. We change it as Paul did. That's my prayer. That's my hope. I ask all this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, gang.